Okay, we are at the bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Beis, about six lines before the bottom of the page. Boy minei Rabbi Yosef Breider of Nechunya Merav Yehuda. Mao shenich Adam Tfilov Tachas Mirashesav. Is a person allowed to place the tefillin underneath the top part of the bed, the place of the bed where one's head rests? Is that considered to be a bezayin? We're speaking over here even in a situation where the tefillin might be in a double covering, but it's under the bed, it's under one's head, in the place of one's head. And the Gemara says, "Tachas margalez of lekimi b'ilei shenayeg behen minig bizayin." To place it under the section of the bed, underneath one's feet, that I didn't have a shayla about, that's clearly a minig bizayin. What if it's under the bed, but it's under the top part of the bed where one's head is? My. It is permitted, even if one is in bed with one's wife, and one is having tashmish, if it's underneath, and again, we're speaking in a case where it's kiss v'sich kiss, it's in a double covering, it's concealed, even if it's under the rashesav, that is permitted, that is fine. So said Shmuel. The mitzve leini adam tefilah dachas margalis amivation egvim minig bizayin. So under the feet part of the bed, the lower part of the bed, you cannot. Avo menichan tachas mirashesav, you can. Vim ha'isi yishtei my aser. It says the Braisa, if one is going to be with one's wife, and that means not just that one's wife is in bed, but it means they are going to have tashmish as such, and then it's aser. If there's a shelf, like let's say three tfachim up or a place down below, that's fine. But either way, tiyufta de shmul, tiyufta, you see, not like shmul. Shmul allowed one to place one's tefillin tachas mirashesav afilu ishtei imoy. So even if one is having tashmish, it is permitted. And we see clearly a braisa de leik shmul, says the Gemara, tiyufta de shmul, tiyufta. Amar Rava, amazing Gemara, Apple gav to Tanya Tiyuf to the Shmuel, Hilchus the Kavase. Nevertheless, we paskin like Shmuel. My time, Kol Linturinu Tzvei Adif. If you look at Rashi in the top of Chavdalad, Rashi says, Kol Linturinu Tzvei Adif, Lehu Mi Bizyoini. Kevan Shuhu Muzer Al Shmirasim in Achbarim Umin Aganavim Tzvei Adif Lehu Mi Bizyoini. So you have a choice of doing something which is a better shmira for the tefillin, for fear that the achbarim or the ganavim are going to take the tefillin, even though there's an element of disrespect insofar as it's underneath the bed and a person is with one's wife. Nevertheless, it is permitted. It's quite an amazing Talmid Rabbi Yehuda over here who asked a fairly obvious question. Says Rabbi Talmid Rabbi Yehuda, "O poiskim ha-ga'inim halacha kishmuel." They didn't pass him like Shmuel. The afal bi shechelik im abraisa vein dercha amirayim lachlik al habraisa. Since when are amirayim allowed to argue on a braisa? I mean, we know that the Gemara says Rav Tana upalig. Rav has the ability to argue on a braisa, but Shmuel doesn't have the ability to argue on a braisa. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have the ability to argue on a braisa. And here, Shmuel is not only arguing on the braisa, but we're passing like him. So how do we have such a thing? Says Rabbi Yoina, the Talmidim afilo achi bedaver shu bedikto kamitzvus kegain zeh shuhu mishum shmira nuchal lifseik kemei hamayra. Something where there's an element, there's an aspect of shmira. You're doing it for the sake of being shomer, and it's not just like an outright machlekes as such on what the Tana said, but you're doing it because there's some element of dikto kamitzvus and so on. That is something which is permitted to do. So says the Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina. So says the Gemara, "Heicham manach lehu." So where do you place it? If, according to Shmuel, that we said you're placing it under the bed, under the head section of the bed. Where is it placed? Amar Rabbi Yemir bein kar lekasis, between the pillow and the mattress. Shalai keneged reishav. It shouldn't be directly underneath your head. If it's directly underneath your head, that's also a little bit of disrespect. So it seems to say that you place it in the bag underneath your head. No, it doesn't mean mamish, demapik, lay, lemur, shudakeva, labar. A little bit, it's sticking out, to the place where the actual tefillin is. It's sticking out. It's not directly under your head. The mapping of the Moshe, the Kevah, the Bar, by Kaparet, Sayerla, the Kilsa, or mapping the Moshe and the Bar. He wrapped it up in the canopy which surrounded his bed, and again tilted it going outside, so it was in a double covering, and it was going out. Rav Shisha Breder of Idi, Manachlu Ashashifa, he put it on a little stool, Uparis Sudra Ilavayu, and wrapped it also. So, as we know, that there's an inyan of a double covering, and also to try and place it in a manner which is somewhat dignified.
Yeah, there
are boxes in there. Yeah?
Top boxes.
Yeah? For the action there, I'm not sure if they have that. I'm not sure. I don't know. Arav Avnuna Breda V'Yosef Zimna Chada Havika Imna Kamei De Rava. One time I was standing in front of Rava, V'Amali Zil Aisi Litfilin, and he told me to go and bring him his tefillin. Bashkartinu Bein Kar LeKasesh LeKeneged Reisha. I saw that they were placed in the position that one places one's tefillin if one was with one's wife, and he told me to retrieve them from there. V'Havi Yodana the Yom Tfila Hava, and I knew that it was Yom Tfila. So why did he tell me to do this? Ulag Muran Alach LaMaisu the Avet. He clearly did this in order to teach us that this is the halacha. Maybe he didn't want to say explicitly that I was with my wife as such, but I realized by virtue of where it was positioned, that that's what happened, and that's what he told me. So by mine, Rabbi Yosef Breid of Nechunya Mirav Yehuda. So we're speaking here in a situation where the two people are in bed, they're not wearing any clothing, as we know, and as we saw in the Sechas Nida, that it was very common for people not to wear clothing. So they are there in bed, and they're facing one another. And the Shaila is, can they turn their face away from one another to be Kira Kriyashma? So Tesis points out over here in the second Tesis, the term of Alei Raya Ervas Atzmai, but typically there's a problem if a person himself is naked, that one is able to see one's Erva. And that says Tesis, V'yishleim Eshayetzi Reisha L'chutz, one's head is outside of the blanket, so the head does not see the Erva. In term of Alei Liba Raya Sa Erva, but the Leiv sees the Erva, we're going to see and on the base of Machlikas, if the problem is the head seeing the erva, or if it's the lave seeing the erva, but so even if you want to tell me your head's out, but your heart is in, the yeshem adiksav alibereis erva mutter, like one of those days, inami chitzitz bevidoy keneged libay. Well, we'll say that the person goes and takes some of their clothing and they put it underneath their lave, so that they have made some type of interposition, some type of a chitzitza between the lave and the Erva. So Akuponim, what was the Shai? The two people are in bed, they're not wearing clothing, can they turn their face away from one another and recite the Shema? So Amar Le'achi Amar Shmuel said, Legabi the Shai, Le'afilu Ishte Yimai. One is able to do this, even if one's wife is there, also not wearing any clothing, one is able to do so. One is able to do so. If you look at Rashi, Dibra Maschul Afilo Ishte Imai, the Rishash actually says those words are actually part of the previous Dibur, and he starts from Shiyach Zeponov, meaning the Shailavi is when you're turning your face, the Kolzman Shem, Poinim Ponim Keneged Ponim, so long as they're facing one another, Pshita Leda Aser, the Ike Hirur Negias Erva, Al Yedei Eivari Tashmish. So when they're facing one another, and the Eivar is touching the other person, that for sure is a problem. The shail is, if you're turning away, and therefore the Aver is no longer touching, and so on, then is it going to be mutter? And that Shmuel said it's permitted even with one's own wife. So, maskev lo Rabbi Yosef, ishtei v'leimi v'yachar, do you mean to say that it's easier to matter the concern of hirhur with one's wife, v'leimi v'yachar, and it's poshut someone else, a stranger, it would be permitted? Adaraba ishtei kegufay, achalav kegufay. So Rashi explains over here, ishtei kegufay, v'rogel ba, v'leke hirur kuli hai. So one is frequent. One knows one's wife, one is rogel with one's wife. There is less of an aspect of hirur. Whereas if there's another person, and what does it mean, another woman or another man, is another woman is difficult to say. If it's another man, what's the element of hear her? So some Rishonim say it doesn't mean hear her because of taiva for another man. It just means a person is tarud. A person is, feels extremely uncomfortable if there's another man naked in front of them. And therefore, mitzad, the in imus, the feeling of being kind of feeling of being unnerved, that you are sleeping in a bed and there's a naked man facing you in front of you, says Rabbi Yosef, I mean, why are you making out that even your wife, and I don't even need to talk about someone else, I mean, a person is much more relaxed with one's wife than they would be with someone else, as far as like the tirda and the ability or inability to concentrate. So Rabbi Yosef disagrees with Shmuel. So now, says the Gemara, amazing. That's one brayso. Tanya chita. Hayoshim b'mita ubanov ubnei beisei b'tzidoi. And again, cases where then no one's wearing clothing. Areza lo yikra kriyishma. You're not allowed to say kriyishma. Alam kenai satalis mafsekis b'neyan. The only way to, the only time would be mutter is if there's a talis, which is mafsek between the two people. But if they were very young, we'll see what that means later on, then it's mutter. So we have opposing contradictory braises. The first braise says if you have two people, they're facing one another, as long as they turn their heads away, it's fine. The second braise says if you're with Bonav Ubnei Beisa, you're not allowed to, unless there's actually a hefsik, as opposed to if it's small children. So Bishlam Rabbi Yosef, Leikasha, Habe Ishtai will say it's mutter based on the svara that a person is not going to be a harher so much because they're used to their wife, their ragoba, and it's not such a big thing for them. Habe Acher, the second brisa which says you're not allowed to unless there's a talis which is mafsekes, is referring to someone else. Elalishmuel, who matters even one's wife, and seemingly called Shekinah Chayrim. So according to Shmuel, Kasha, how does he resolve the two braises where one braise seems to say you're not allowed to unless there is a hafsik? So, Amar Shmuel, one second, Rabbi Yosef, Minicha, is it fit so nicely according to Rabbi Yosef? Tanya, Yashin b'mita, the Bach says, takes out Ubanav and takes and says, Ubnei Beisei b'mita, or Tesis has the Girsa. Hayashim b'mita the ishto yishena b'tzidei, and he's with his wife. So the brayza says la'yikra kriyash malim kinaisa talisim avsekas b'neim. So anyway, you have another brayza which seems to say there's even a problem even with one's wife. So what are you going to do about that? Elamayis l'cholameim ar ishto l'Rabbi Yosef tanoihi. So we're going to be forced to say that clearly this whole thing is a machlokes tanoim as to whether a person is able to focus and be mechaven, or they will be nitrad with hirhurim with one's own wife. So even according to me, you can ask this as a kasha. There's different shitas tanoim, and therefore I go with the shitas that ishta is fine, achirim is fine, and there's no shaila, there's no problem of hirhurim. So the Gemara explains now. Remar zemach upon of the kore kriyashma. But what about the backside of the person? Meaning specifically the backside. Meaning if they turn away from each other, so granted that the aver is not touching, but the agaves are touching one another. And why are we not concerned about that? So says the Gemara, so this is a siyua to Rav Huna. The Rav Huna says that there is no erva when it comes to agavis. Agavis are mufka from the parish of erva, and there's no shaila whatsoever. Says the Gemara, let's say it's a siyua to Rav Huna from the following Mishnah in Chala. The Mishnah says, Ha'isha yesheves v'kutzala chalasa. A woman is allowed to sit down on the ground, and she's sitting down with her legs directly in front of her, as in her legs, like she, her body's in a 90-degree angle. Ha'isha yesheves v'kutzala chalasa aruma. And she's doing this while she is naked. Mibnei Shechayla Lachasis Paneh Bekarka, because the Erva is covered over by the ground, and therefore she is able to be Mafresh Chala and make a bracha, and it's considered that the Erva is Mechusra. Agav, there's a din as to, aren't you supposed to stand up when you make a bracha? And here there's a din in the Poskim as to, maybe it depends on the nature of the mitzvah. Certain mitzvahs, says the Magen Avraham, a mitzvah which is just coming to matter something, like Hafrashas Chala matters the dough, that I can now eat the dough, the Magen Avraham says that could be the type of mitzvah which doesn't require an amidah. Other types of mitzvahs would require an amidah. Others disagree with the Magen Avraham. Al Kapanim Legavi Aishayla Sugya was saying a woman is able to sit down, and the whole problem is, the potential problem is mitzad the bracha, and it's considered like it's mechusa. So we have a siyut to Rav Huna that we're not concerned about the agavos, because even though the actual erva is covered, but the backside of the woman is not covered, it is visible, and typically that she's saying a bracha b'makam the erva. So we have a raya to Rav Huna. Says the Gemara, you don't have a raya. Tir Gemara Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Gagoin Shahayu Panea Tuchais Bekarka. We'll say the case is that she is, I think it might be the baddest one with it. It could be that she's, let's say, she's sitting in very soft, sand. So her whole body is really submerged in the sand and the karka. So not only is the erva mechusa, but even the agavis are mechusa. In which case you don't necessarily have a raya, in which case you don't necessarily have a raya, what the din is, meaning Lamaiser Rav Huna did say his din that agavis ein memishim erva, that was Shitas Rav Huna. We wanted to bring a raya, and that the Gemara says we can be deicha the raya by saying shahayu paneh tuchis bekarka. Fine. Says the Gemara Mamarim, Hayu Bana Bibrebe Sikatanim Mutter. If one was sleeping with young children, it's permitted. That Kama, Amrachiz, Batinik is Bash Shalay Shonim, Vyemechad, Batinik Ben Tes Shonim Vyemechad. So up until 3 for a girl, or 9 for a boy. We know that that is a stage, an age, when Biyasam Biya. So up until the stage where Biyasam Biya, it's permitted, up until that time, it's not considered to be an erva. Igadam Reitinekus Bas Yud Aleph Shana Vyem Echad, the Tinek Ben Shtei Mesrei Shana Vyem Echad. Meaning we look at the year Samach Legatas, the year right before they become Gedolim. And then that we say, Idi the Idi, by both the boy and the girl, Ad Kadei Shadai Mechainu Visarech Tzimeach. Meaning once they start to appear like a young man and a young lady, that is the time that it's problematic. After all, we were speaking about the feeling uncomfortable and unpleasant and potential hearer and being matrid. So it's once they reach the stage that they start to appear like a young man and a young woman. In the previous sugya, with regards to placing your tefillin, we said Shmuel went against the brisa and said you're allowed to place the tefillin underneath mirashesav, underneath the head part of the bed. Hachamai, what about over here? Do we paskan like Shmuel or do we paskan like Rabbi Yosef? Amalei atu kulu b'chada machta machtino. Do you think everything is all kind of woven together? Meaning, when we say we paskan like Shmuel, we paskan like Shmuel. If it doesn't say that, there's no reason to assume we do. And there are those who say taka that we paskan like Rabbi Yosef in this case, the Chumrah. And it's dafka din by Ishte because of Ishte Kegufay, and it's a special heter by Ishte Kegufay, but not by any other individual, because of the feeling of Yehurim, of being torrid, of being unnerved and the like. Amalei Rav Mari Lev Papa, Sa'ar Yoitze Bevigdei Mahu. Rashi says, directly across, Yotze Sa'ar Bevigdei Shenekev Bigdei Kneged Zekana Tachtin. V'yotze Min HaSe'ar Benekev Mahu. Meaning there's pubic hair sticking out, that's the only which is visible, Mi havi erva likris kriyashma kenegdoi oiloi. So that was the Shaila. Karale sar sar. So he responded by saying, her, her, says Rashi, claimer mabekach. That's nothing. So what was Rav Mari Shaila to Rav Papa? Could be that the Shaila was, even though the actual hair itself is not considered to be an erva, that maybe mitzad the hirhur shaboy, maybe that's only something which is going to cause hirhurim and so on, and to make it difficult to concentrate, which would be interesting, because if so, that means we have a shakal atari that the Gemara is saying it's specifically something which has a din erva, something which is mamish erva, that is also, but something which might be ma'oirer, is not necessarily considered to be erva, and just bear that in mind in a minute when we get to the sugya of kol be'isha. So it says the Gemara like this. The Gemara now is going to mention four other places, or either places on a woman's body or her voice, her singing voice, according to some Rishonim, that these things are also considered to be erva. So in other words, in addition to the actual makom erva mamish, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak, tefach be'isha erva. If you have a tefach's worth of the woman, it is an erva. So a little bit unclear what exactly we're referring to. So says the Gemara, Lamai. What's the shayla? Ilei melista kuliba. If it's a shayla of being mistakel, and we know that histaklus means like a prolonged gaze, it's not just a fleeting glimpse. So if you mean to say that there's an isra of histaklus on a tefach, v'amrav sheishes lama mana kasav tachshitin shibachutz im tachshitin shibifnim. When the Bnei Israel went out to battle against Midian, so it mentions various ornaments, trinkets, and jewelry, and it mentions the tachshitim which were worn. It mentions, Rashi speaks about a chastity belt together with bracelets and other types of belts which are worn externally. To teach us, even if a person looks at a woman's finger, it's as if you're looking at the makom erva mamish. So legabi the histaklus, the isra histaklus, there's no prerequisite of a tefach. A woman's finger, her pinky, is less than a tefach, and we still say legabi histaklus, everything is us. So that can't be what Yitzchak was referring to. Ella, the ishtoi, he meant even one's own wife, ula kriya shma, with regards to kriya shma. So Rashi says, le'ishtoi ula kriya shma, im tefach magula ba, le'yikra kriya shma kenegda. So if the tefach is exposed, one may not say kriya shma kenegda. Rashi doesn't tell us, bimokum shadarka liyais mechusa, but presumably that's what it means. It means if there is a tefach of exposed flesh, which is usually covered over, doesn't mean a tefach on her face, or doesn't mean a tefach on her hand, but it means a place which is usually concealed, and here it is exposed, there's an issa of kriyashma. That's one din. Amar nechiz, the sheik be'isha erva. So he comes along and he says, there's another erva that we need to consider, and that is the sheikh. Now, there's a discussion as to what the sheikh means. We know it's a part of the leg. The question is exactly which part of the leg is it? Well, let's just see the Gemara. Sheikh v'yish erva, shenemar. And the Pasuk says, gali sheikh ivri nahoris. And then it continues and it says, tigal erva seich. The gam tira chepaseich. So it mentions that right afterwards it mentions a lashon of erva in reference to the sheikh. So whatever the sheikh is, that is considered to be an erva. So here there is a big deal in the poskim as to what the sheikh is. Because we know in lashon HaKodesh we have different names. We have regel, we have arkuba, we have the yarech, we have the sheikh. So, are some of these things synonyms, or are they different places in a person's body? So, some say, and I believe this is how the Mishnah Berurah paskins, that the sheikh is referring to the thigh. So, sheikh be'isha erva, meaning areas, and they bring rayas from sheikh in Lagabi's Raya Cave and the Chayayim, and what's considered to be a sheikh by animals and so on. So, according to the Mishnah Berurah, it means the thigh, anywhere above the knee, is considered to be an erva. and therefore that area needs to be covered. That are others who are more masculine. They say the sheikh refers even to the lower leg, in which case even the lower leg is considered to be an Arab. And if you'd have tefach 8 centimeters from a woman's ankle going up, exposed, that would be considered an Arab, and a person would have to cover that also. Good. Then we say, and this is what I was meramis to before, Amar Shmuel koil de'isha erva. Now, literally, the Lashon of the Gemara is a woman's voice. A woman's voice is erva. Shenera ki koilech arevo ma'arech nave. Your voice is pleasant, sweet. Your voice is sweet. So what's the raya that it's an erva? So Rashi says an interesting thing. Rashi says, mid mishabach lakra begava, from the fact that you see that the Torah is praising the sweetness of a woman's voice, shma mina taivahi. You see, therefore, there's an element of taiva. So again, just to refer back to what we pointed out before, the Gemara before asked that Rav Mari, I think it was, who asked Rav Papa, what's the din of Cyrus, which are sticking out. So you say, that's nothing, meaning sar, ein bekach lum, meaning, so we suggested maybe that the shiloh of Mari was, at kama, that it's sar, shel makam ha'erva, maybe that's also a makam of hiror, slash taiva v'chudu, and therefore maybe that's also a problem. And then he said, nein, that's just Cyrus ba'alma. In which case, yeah. Say again? Any pubic hair as such. Oh yeah, in the Hanami. That's also another Shaila. That's also a good question as to what about, you know, the voice of a Panuya and so on. Is that Muthal? That's a big discussion. But I'm just saying that it's very interesting the way that we're coming out that the halacha lamaisa, a woman's voice, would consider to be an erva, is from the fact that the terrorist says that it's sweet. Vice versa, that's considered to be an erva, which I'm just pointing out in my mind based on the sugya, seems to be a little bit more of a chiddush. Good. Finally, we say Amram Sheshis. Yeah, no, in Ahanami, I'm just saying from the previous Gemara when Rav Mari asked Rav Papa that if pubic hair is sticking out, is that an erva? He said, nah, it's not the actual makam erva, it's nothing. So what was his shayla? Alamai, he understood that al-kama, that it's from the same makam, maybe that's going to be ma'orer here or in time. And he said, it's not the actual thing itself. So I'm just saying, if we see from that shakla v'tariya, that it's only that which is halachically considered to be an erva is mer nisht. So Mali, the Torah says she's got a sweet voice. To me, it sounds like there's a little bit of a jump to say sweet voice and say it's actually an erva. You know, just.
A woman's here,
say again?
A woman's here,
married,
it's an erva,
right?
So, a voice, the erva, what
so let's look at that next Gemara, the same Hara. I'm Rav Sheshis. Sarbi isha erva, shenemar sareich ke'eder ha'izim. So again, a similar type of limud. I mean, the limud is that the fact that the Torah is mishabeach the hair of a woman, and it's comparing it to the beautiful fleece of goats and so on. So it's considered to be something which is particularly attractive. So therefore, it's considered to be an erva. I'm just saying, mitzad the sugya. Up until now, we had rayas from psukim. We had rayas from Sukkim. We by God by Sheikh. We said Gali Sheikh Uksiv Tagel Erva Seich, and the next pasuk says that it's a lashon of erva. I'm just saying in by Koil and by Sar, we're saying that it actually has it in erva by virtue of the fact that the Torah is mishabechit. Therefore, it's considered to be, and therefore Rashi says, therefore taivehi. Just saying, it's interesting. Anything which is considered to be taiva is considered to be an erva. And again, there's a big deal in the poskim when we say kol b'yisha erva, some are machmer to say even a woman's voice.
Singing,
and some say it's singing. Some say it's only when she's singing. There are those who are machmer to say that even a woman's voice. I'll go upon him. This there's big deal and the place given all of these these four dinim.
The Aruch HaShulchan has
a
bracha in front of a woman whose hair is exposed. Yeah,
the Yerugel Bar. The Yerugel Bar, that again, it has to do with, you know, if you, according to what the Rishonim say, that it has to do with Taiva and so on, you can hear. In other words, if you say, Lamashal, let's say, the Gemara says that Sheik Beisha Ereva, and we said, Lekuli Alma, it's the thigh. Meaning from the knee up, it's definitely considered to be an Ereva. From the knee down, if you learn, that's included in Sheik, it's also. But everyone agrees, on the knee up, it's considered to be an Ereva. So there, we don't say, well, if you're Rogil, right, to see women dressed inappropriately, it's fine, and you can see Kriya Shema with a woman in front of a woman who's saying a short skirt. We don't say that because the Torah categorically said the Sheik is an Ereva, come what may. So there it doesn't seem to, but it seems to be when it comes to some of these other things, which we're saying, oh, Alma, it's considered to be a Taiva. Maybe it's because the Torah didn't clearly, categorically say, this is an Ereva, but it's more, it's something which the Torah is Meshabeach, and therefore vice versa, there's a Taiva, there's perhaps a little bit more room to maneuver, like Yoruch HaShulchan does over there, like Avi Kriya Shema. Fine, says the Gemara, the two dots. Amram Haninani, Re'isi as Rebbe Shetala Tfilov. I saw the Rebbe hung up his tefillin. Your life will be hanging in the balance, so to speak. And the Darshe Hamures, question if you go as Hamures or Shumais, Amru Vahayu Hayachatluyim Lachaminaged. What is this pasuk in the Klalos referring to? That your life will be hanging in front of you. Zehatayilat Tfilah, if you just hang the tefillin up, it's a bizoyim to hang it up like that. So now we say Lekasha Ha Ritzua Ha Bektitza. It depends if the Ritzuas are drum hanging down, or if the bias is hanging down. If the Ritzuas is hanging down, it's okay. If the Ketitza, the bias is hanging down, it's not okay. Vibezema Alejna Ritzua Alejna Ketitza. Aser, both of them are Aser. Chitala Rebbe Bekistatala. When did he hang up his tefillin? When it was Bekista. Rashi says four lines down, the big lines. Beseich tikon hayu, inside the box. V'tala tik, but it was inside the entire box. So Frank the Gemara, if that's what he did, so yachimai lememra. So what's the big deal? Why would you think it's a problem? Ma'udetemati boy anacha kesefer Torah. You might think that you have to kind of put it away properly, like you would put a sefer Torah, kamash malon, from the Hanhaga of Rebbe, you don't need to do so. Liam? Yeah. If it's in a tick, yeah. Liam Rav Chanina, ani re'isias Rebbe, shegiheik upiheik v'nis'atesh v'rak. I saw that he belched, and he yawned, and he sneezed, he spat, mashmesh bevigdoy. Rashi learns that he was removing a louse which was biting him. But he would not, Rashi learns, if his talus fell, he would not, in the middle of tefillah, he would not stop to bend down to pick it up. Now, ukishahu mefaik hayamineh yodei al senter. When he would yawn, he would cover his mouth. That's the anaga of Rebbe. That's what Rebbe did, and he said, I witnessed him doing this during Shemoneh Esrei. So, Frank Gemarkasha amazed me. Hamashmir koilei b'tzvilasi yareza miktani amana. Number one, if you make yourself audible, that shows that you don't believe that your tefillah is niskabel unless you raise your voice. And hamagbir koilei, and if you really raise your voice really loud, hareza minivi shaka. That's what the Nevi Habal did in the Maisa with Eliyahu. It says they called out the kol gadol, and so on. V'hamigahik, v'hamafahik, and to belch and to yawn, that shows that you are very haughty. If you sneeze, simen raloi, it's a bad sign. It shows that the fellow is disgusting. And to spit in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, it's as if you're spitting in front of the king. So how in the world could Rebbe yawn and sneeze and belch and spit and do all these things? So we say, When it comes to belching, yawning, and the like, if it was an accident, it was an accident. If it was done on purpose, that is when it's a problem. Ella mis'adeish, mis'adeish kasha. But it says that Rebbe sneezed. One usually sneezes accidentally, and nevertheless the Braisa still says it's a bad thing to do. Mis'adeish, mis'adeish kasha. Mis'adeish, mis'adeish na'ale kasha. Kan melamala, kan melamata. One is referring to a sneeze, one is referring to passing wind, and that is the problem. Damrab Zera ha milso. They changed the gears here to Iboili. Ha milso Iboili Bey Rav Amnuna. I inquired about in the house of Rav Amnuna. Utkilali kikuli talmudoi. And it's worth gunshots, what he told me. Hamis Adesh Mitzila say simen yafaloi. Kishim sha'isim lenachas ruach melamata. Kach'isim lenachas ruach. If a person sneezes, it's a good sign if you sneeze in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, because just like you, there's a certain pleasure, nachas ruach, when you sneeze, so too it's a siman that milamala, they're also going to do for you a nachas ruach. But what is outstanding is still rock a rock kasha. How could Rebbe spit? So we say rock a rock namile kasha. He was in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, even his damalei reik, and all of a sudden you cough up some phlegm. So mavlioi b'talisei, you should go ahead and put it in your garment. You know, don't spit. The problem is to spit out of your mouth and to sling it across the room. That is the problem. The imtalis noahu, if it's a nice talis, you don't want to get it ruined. Mavlio b'arfak susai, so you can put it in your sudur, which we saw in the previous sugya, and that, like, the sudda would be hanging down on both sides of the person's shoulders, and you could do that. Nevertheless, the Gemara tells him, "Aisa Ravina havi kori achiri Ravashi." He was behind Ravashi, mizdamen le roik, and he has had some roik, some spittle. Paske l'achir, and he spat it like he spat it properly out of his mouth, not into his garment. You're not supposed to spit it out of your mouth properly. I'm very finicky, and I'm not able to withstand spitting it into my clothing, and therefore I had no choice but to spit it out of my mouth properly. So we said, if a person raises their voice, it shows that you lack emunah. That's only if you're able to concentrate if you daven quietly. But if you're unable to concentrate, if you daven quietly, then mutter. Then you're allowed to raise your voice. That's only if you're davening by yourself, but if you're in a tzibur and it's going to cause other people to lose concentration, then there is no heter. during Shemoneh Esrei? Could be. I mean, this is a din in Shemoneh Esrei during when you're going to disturb others by raising your voice. Then you have to daven quietly. I mean, there's a discussion about responding amen quieter than the Baal Tefillah. And there we say the amen should not be as loud as the bracha of the shatz. That's one thing we just mentioned. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Abba havi ki mishnam minei Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Abba was ducking and diving from Rav Yehuda. He was trying not to bump into him. Rabbi Abba wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yehuda didn't want him to. Rabbi Yehuda said, "You're not allowed to." The Amar Rabbi Yehuda, "Kol Olam Yibava LeEretz Yisrael, Oyver Basay." The person transgresses an asay. Shneimer the pasuk says, "Bavela Yuvo V'Shama Yiu Ad Yem Pakti Isam Num Hashem." You will go to Bavel, and that is where you will remain until I remember you. So you're not supposed to leave Bavel. So Rabbi Abba clearly disagreed with his drasha of Rabbi Yehuda, but he didn't want to get into trouble. Amar, he said, "Ezel the Eshma minei Molsa me Beis Vada. Let me at least go in here. I'll stand outside the Beis Medrash and I'll hear what he's discussing. The other epic, or some say that he would go Asak, he would go up to Eretz Yisrael. So Azal, he went. Ashkechei l'tana d'ktani kameid of you. They heard someone sing over a brisa in front of Reb Yehudah. Hayayimim b'tfilah v'nis'ateish. If a person was aiming b'tfilah and he's misateish, and here we're referring to passing wind, mamtin ad sheyichle haruach. He needs to wait until the smell dissipates. Some of the girsa ad sheyichle hareach. V'chayzer u'mispal. And then he goes back and he continues to daven. So Igad Amri, Hayayimim b'tfilah, u'bikeish l'sateish. A person felt a strong need to pass wind. Machik la'achar of Dalan Amis. You move out of place, Dalan Amis. U'mizatesh. And we're not discussing if a person's wearing tefillin. U'mamtin achich la'haruach ha'reach v'chayzer mispalo. And then you go back, and quite an amazing thing, in the middle of the bracha that you're holding, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you insert this, and you say, Ribbono shel Olam, yitzatanu nekav mekav mechalim chalilim, goli v'yadu lefanecha, cherposeinu, uchlima seinu, bechayenu, ubachri seinu, rima v'seleya. So Hashem, it's known to you that we have orifices and cavities, and we are, it's a cherpa and a busha and a klima, it's sources of embarrassment, our physical bodies, and in the end we're going to decay, and so on. And then you continue from the place where you left off. So that is what he overheard him say when he was standing outside of the Beis Medrash. So, had I only come just to hear this, that would have been sufficient. What an amazing memra which he said. Say again? I'm sorry, what does it say?
Leaving Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael was
Over Basay, why not?
Because it was after the period of Yehudah talking to the people who were going there, and they've since been redeemed as we took them back.
Yeah, now I did see that kasha. And how is that Megeah Mizman post Bayis Sheni? I don't recall. It was like a smach. It was still an Indian to remain in Babel. That was going to be the Makam Terah. You still? Yeah. You know, even, exactly. Even after Chorban Bayis Sheni. Yeah. Good. Fine. Says the Gemara Rabbanu, Hayashim B'talis V'Niyachalo Hitzias Reisha. A person is under a blanket. It's freezing cold, and they need to say Shema. It's getting close to save Zman, and it's too difficult for them to stick their head out because it's so cold. So the din is chitzitz betalise al tzavoroi v'koyrei. So you press the blanket by your neck to make a hefsik between the head and the erva v'koyrei kriyashma. Miyeshimrim aliboy. Some say the place where you need to make the chatzitza is by the lathe, underneath the lathe. Iver tanakama, arei liba yireya se'erva. Why is not concerned about that? Ksavar liba yireya se'erva muter. And the question does the ikra havdala need to be from the roish and the erva, or from the lathe and the erva? And that is the din. Amar Ravuna, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ravuna said, "B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, I am a halach b'mavois hamitu nafais." So even though you're in a mokum matunuf, it is sufficient to merely just place your hand over your mouth and you can say Shema, meaning you're making some type of a makeshift chatzitza, putting your hand over your mouth, and you're going to say Shema. Even if I would hear this directly from Rabbi Yochanan's mouth, there's no way I would listen to that. So here it's Rav Huna saying B'shem Rabbi Yochanan. He says, I don't believe it. Again, it's Kenneth Zayn. Igad Amri Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar B'Shivan Levi. B'Shivan Levi is the one who said this. I'm Halach M'Ways M'Tanaf As Menich Yad Al Piv V'Kir Kish Mam Le'er V'Chiz Alekim Imam Ali B'Shivan Levi B'Pum Le'Tzayas Nalei. So we're saying that we're saying that Rav Chisda did not believe that Rav Yechanan or Rav Yeshua ben Levi could have said such a thing. And now else the Gemara is saying that Rav Huna said this over b'shem Rav Yechanan. In fact, the Gemara, mi amr Rav Huna, he is that shitas Rav Huna. All you need to do is just stick your hand over your mouth, and now you've made some type of a hefsik. The amr Rav Huna, Talmud Chacham, also le lamed b'makamati nefes, levi shiyav shalei lamed b'li hir hur tzaira. So you're not supposed to be in a place of tinefes, because it's impossible for the Talmud Chacham not to be thinking and learning, and he's going to be thinking and learning and speaking and learning, and so on. And if all you need to do is just cover your mouth, so what's the problem? You can be in a Makam Tinefes, and even if you end up speaking, you can just cover your mouth, because that is what Rav Huna said, B'Shem Rav Yechanan. So what's the problem? Says the Gemara, Likash, Kan Ba'Oimid, Kan Ba'Mahalach. There's a difference between standing in a makom tinefes or being mahalach, meaning the original memra of Rav Huna b'shem Rav Yechanan was hayamahalach b'mavois hamatinafis. So being that you are being mahalach, you're passing through, it's not quite as chamor. If you recall, we wanted to suggest yesterday, I don't know, I have to check up and see if anyone says this, but I thought to suggest yesterday that even though the Gemara says you're not allowed to enter a Beis HaKisli Kavua wearing your tefillin, because we said it's a Gnai, it's Gola, and you're walking to a Beis HaKisli Kavua, nevertheless, the Gemara cleared a Shaila, are you allowed to enter a Beis HaKisli Kavua to be mashtin? What do you mean? But we just said 2 seconds ago, you're not allowed to enter a Beis HaKisli Kavua. So we suggested that, just like if you're walking by Tzaya, you know, that's permitted. You don't have to take off your tefillin if you're just walking in a field and you punct happen to pass by Tzaya. So it could be the Gemara yesterday was just saying that at the time that you're just going to be mashed in, Hashtana is not considered to be enough of an asik and enough of a connection with this makam that it's a problem. So a similar thing over here. When did Rav Huna say b'shem Rav Yechanan that it's permitted? Because you're mahalei rabbi mevois hamatinafis. You're passing by, you're passing through. If you're passing through, it's not the end of the world if you're in a Makam Matunif. You're not really shtelling through to that place. There's no real kesher to the Makam Matunif. I'm walking through. I need to say Kriya Shema. I'll put my hand over my mouth. I'll make Epis HaChatzitza by putting my hand over my mouth. That's going to be good enough. Masha Ein Kein, if you're Oimed, if you're standing, you're stationary, you are in this place. That's already, you are more makusher to the place, you're connected to the place. That would be a problem, that's why, that's when Rav Huna said, you're not allowed to stand in a makam matunif. So, like Asha, kan ba'imid, kan b'mahalach. So that's how we've been miyashiv Rav Huna. Now we still need to worry about Rav Yechanan. Right, the Gemara, miyam Rav Yechanan, achi, did Rav Yechanan allow one to be mahalach in makimis, in a mavay matunif? So these are places of tinuf, and one is not allowed to be in such a place. And it seems to be, by the way, in all these things, we don't seem to be mechalik between hirur and dibur, because the original statement of Rabbi Yechanan was your kira kriya shma, and here we're asking Akasha. Here we're saying you can't even. I guess this wouldn't be so sure because here we're saying we're asking Akash, you're not even allowed to be maharer, and before we said you're even allowed to articulate the words of Kriya Shema as long as there is some type of a hefsek where you put your hand over your mouth. So Rabbi Yochanan says that you are allowed to be maharer except in a makam based on merchatz based akise. So kol shekin you wouldn't be able to speak in a makam of mitzunuf. Maybe you'll say that the case of Rabbi Barbachan and Rabbi Yechanan is if you're Oymed in the Beis HaMerachatz, if you're Oymed in the Beis HaKisei, and that's why it's a problem. They were walking, they were Mahalech, they were Oyver, and Kimata b'mavois hamitunafis, Ishtik. So Rabbi Yavo stopped. He stopped saying Shema. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, and then he asked Rabbi Yochanan Lehechan Ahadar. Now that we're in the clear, we passed the Makam HaMatunav, where do I go back to? And Amalei and Rabbi Yochanan responded, even though they were just Mahalach, they were walking through, nevertheless Rabbi Yochanan said, Im Shayisa Kedei Ligmar Eskula Chayzol Rosh, if you were Masha, the amount of time that it takes to say the whole Shema, you need to go back to the beginning. So you see that even though they were walking, they were passing through, still Rabbi Yochanan says it's a problem and there's a potential hafsek and you might have to go back to the beginning, and so on. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a riot. Achi Kamale, this is what Rabbi Yochanan was telling Rabbi Avo. Lididi leisfirli. I hold there's not a problem of saying a divrei Torah if you're walking through. There's no problem whatsoever. Lididach, but according to you, disfirlach. But there is a problem, so I'm answering you, l'shitascha, im shahisa kadei ligmar eskula, then chayzal reish, then you would have to go back to the beginning. But in a hanami, I myself hold that it's mutar, you can be, if you're a mahalach and mavoyis mutinafes, as long as you place your hand over your mouth, that is good enough. Says the Gemara, Tanya Gavas Derevuna, Tanya Gavas Demchisto. Tanya Gavas Derevuna. It's enough to make a little bit of a temporary makeshift mechitza, and you can say it. You should not say kriyishma. If you were pesik, then you should stop. Lay pasikmai. What happens if you didn't stop and you continued? Says the Gemara, Amr of Miyashia by a braid, a shuvan lady, all of Hakos of Omer, Vagam, Anina Sartil, and Chukim lay tevim, umishpatim lay yechu behem. Meaning to say that I've given them Chukim and Mishpatim, and they're not using them for the right reasons. I mean, you're supposed to say Shema, it's a good thing. I've given them these things, and it's not going to be for their benefit. It's not going to be for their benefit because they're saying Shema in places which is inappropriate and awesome. That's what Rabbi Yashiv Hashem, Barbara Yitiv Shubha Levi said. Rabbi Asi said, Mihacha, we learn out from a different pasuk. The pasuk says, Hoy, Moshe Ha'oven, Bechavli Hashav. Says Rashi, "V'chavli ashav v'chavolim she'ilim chazakim el aneichim lehinotek hein meishkin ha'oven ha'atzmum." They're very easily bringing and drawing sin upon themselves. Avzeli they dibra ba'almo nenesh haval. You know, you just said a few words and you did something which is so bad by merely saying a few words. That's like a very easy way to bring. Avin on yourself. If you look at the second to last days, b'chav leishav kolim b'chinam moishchem aleim avin ki toiv haya shaloy haya mekayim neisaklau. So shav is like a lashon of chinam. You're doing it for naught. It would have been much better, much safer to keep quiet in such a case. And that we say, Ravada bar Av Amar v'hachi as a third source ki dvar Hashem bazal. Meaning you're being mevazeh dvar Hashem by saying Kriya Shema in a makom tunuf, im pasuk mas chorein. If you stop, what is the reward? Amar miyavayu, alav akas of aimer, ubedavra zeh, tarichu yamim. In this matter, you will have arichas yamim, meaning, and you can hear the mida keneged mida. The fellow obviously needs to go from A to B, and he wants to save time, and he wants to say Shema. He gets to a makom tunuf, we're saying stop. It's going to cause me to have to take more time when I get there. The schar is, that means the connected meter is, Yalav Arichas Yamim. Fine, let's see a couple more minutes. Amar Aguna, Hoysa Talise Hagur Alay Al Masnav. Mutter Likris Kriyashma. You look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hoysa Talise Hagur Al Masnav. It says, on his loins, on his hips, Lechasei Say, Mi Masnav Ulamata. Meaning a person, mi'ikra din, you're allowed to say kriyishma bare-chested. Mi'ikra din, you can say kriyishma bare-chested. Danyan amiyachi, or is the talis, shal beged, v'shal ar, v'shal stak, Chagur al Masnav Mutar Likras Kriyashma. Avol Tfilo Ad Shechases Liboy. Zogt Rashi. Tzarech Hu Lachareis Es Atzmai Ke Oymed Livnei Amelach Volamed Be'emo. Avol Kriyashma Eine Medaber Livnei Amelach. So there is a Yesedis Dik Achilik between Kriyashma and Tfilo. Tfilo Shmanah say you are Oymed Livnei Amelach. And therefore you need to be in a state where you are dignified. And therefore, the mashal person would not be able to daven on the beach, if their chest is not covered. Some extend this to Birkas HaMazon. You're not supposed to bench if you are bare-chested. They say you find similar dinim with Birkas HaMazon. Say again? It's not, but nevertheless, they make comparisons in the Chomer of the covered which is necessary for Birkas HaMazon, and they say it has some of the dinim of tefillah. You should place your hands on it ad sheyigma, until you finish. You can just finish. You might be in the bathroom for 5 minutes. You can keep it turned on and so on. Meaning if a person is being excused, and whilst they are literally in the process of relieving themselves, they shouldn't be mafsik as the tsoya is leaving their body. Why don't you stop? Balekim and get up and get out. If a person stops themselves in the middle while they are releasing the tsoya from their body, that brings to hadreikin. Rashi says it's a chayli hamatzbes, a keres, it causes the keres to bloat. And so too, silan, if a person is in the middle of being matl mayim, silan occurs there in the stop, and it causes the urine to go back up, maybe as the adam, lidei yirachim. It brings a person to another type of matl. Okay. Yeah. I'll stop here.